Love these moments in life, in radio, and in the real world as well. It's your brother Beto here, Sun Radio, chatting up Kenny Wayne Shepherd. Been such a uber fan of you and your guitar stylings for many years. Kenny Wayne, how you been, brother?
Man, I'm good. It's good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And time flies when you're having fun and putting out great music. This is such a trip to me. I can only imagine, and I want to ask the first question, what does it feel like to be celebrating a 30th anniversary of a debut album, dude?
Well, it's pretty incredible. On one hand, you know, it's like my body is letting me know that I'm getting older, but I don't like that part so much. But, you know, looking back at all the great things that have come as a result of this first record, Ledbetter Heights, back in 1995, you know, this is the album that introduced me and my band and my music to the world. And, you know, when I recorded when I was 17, it came out just after I turned 18. I really had no idea what to expect, if anybody was even going to care. And, you know, thankfully, Deja Voodoo was the first single. It shot up to number 5 on the rock charts and the sales started coming in. And it just began this foundation for us, you know, especially with the fans, this fan base that's now been with me for over 3 decades worth of albums and right. tours. So much good times, you know.
Also lost in my memory is just how young you were, like, when that happened. Because that was almost like, back in the day, 30 years ago, if you shoot to that kind of a level of gold or whatever, you know, and then eventually platinum within the year, that's huge. Streaming wasn't around. These were actual records being sold. So
yeah.
Take me back to that 18-year-old Kenny Wayne Shepherd and what was going through your mind then. And then take us to, like, the present day and give us kind of just a juxtaposition of where things are in the music world. But first, you know, start back there with that 18-year-old, your own self.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you should ask that question because in honor of this anniversary, we went in the studio and we recorded a brand new version of the Ledbetter Heights album that we're going to release probably March of next year to coincide with the tour that we're doing. And going in the studio and re-recording this music really brought up a lot of those memories. Like, it was really like a blast from the past. It brought up so many memories of me being in the studio, what it was like being that 17-year-old kid making his first album and, you know, writing those songs and just all the stuff that came along with it. And, you know, like I said, I mean, there was just so many first time experiences for me that were happening, and I really had no idea what to expect. Right. I mean, I really didn't know if this album was going to land, if it was going to connect with anybody. You know, you put your heart and soul into something and you try and make a statement of who you are as an artist, and then you hand it over to a record company, and then it's kind of out of your control. And I just didn't know what to expect. And thankfully, you know, like I said, they released Deja Voodoo to rock radio. It shot straight up to number 5 on the charts. We started watching the album sales roll in. And back then it was really exciting because you could put a record out and then wait for the first week's sales. And I think at that time we were doing, like, I don't know, probably 30,000 records a week or something. And, you know, yeah, as things have evolved and the music industry is, the landscape has changed over the years, now with streaming and stuff, it's like, you know, my fans still buy physical product, mostly at our shows. We sell vinyl records and CDs and stuff.
Hell yeah.
They'll pre-order them when a record's coming out. So we still have fans that love the actual listening experience of an album and to the ownership of an album. But, you know, the majority of people are streaming stuff nowadays. And so the whole thing has changed. And the idea of, like, the numbers don't work very well for streaming. So, like, I think if you want to have a platinum record from streaming, you have to have like 1.5 or 1.2 billion streams or something like that. And it's just really hard, you know, for most artists to reach that number. So I'm really fortunate. I got into the recording industry right at the end of what I think was a golden era. And I have, you know, several gold and platinum albums hanging on my wall,
which
is really cool.
Well, talk about the process and what the voice and the human Noah Hunt means to you in that career and this kind of journey that you've been on.
Well, you might remember you know, when we were touring for Ledbetter Heights, we actually came through Austin and we did Austin City Limits, the television show. And, you know, that's still a frequently watched video. Like, my fans are always like, man, I just found this video of you from 95, 96 on Austin City Limits. And back then that show, you'll see a different singer. Like on the first album, we had Corey Sterling in the lead singer role in my band, because, you know, I didn't really start singing lead vocals in my own band until about my fourth record. But Corey and I, after the tour, we kind of parted ways and we started looking for a new singer. And that's when we found Noah Hunt. And Noah came on board right as we were going in the studio to record the second album, Trouble Is, with Blue on Black and all of that stuff. And he's been with me since then. So like 28 years in my band. And the cool thing is that Noah is singing, obviously, on the new version of Ledbetter Heights. And there's been a lot of fans of Noah's voice over the years that have often wondered what that record would have sounded like if he would have been in the band then. And so now they're going to get a chance to hear that.
Truly an awesome partnership. And when I've seen y'all live and do even more some intimate, you know, stripped down versions of things, the I don't know. It's I don't want to say the bromance, but like the musical relationship between y'all two is just something so special. So I can only imagine, like, here we are 30 years later, re-releasing and going out on this tour. It's got to feel, you know, I don't want to be cliche with that whole full circle moment, but isn't that exactly what this is for y'all?
Well, it's been, for me, it's like a real trip down memory lane, you know, revisiting all this music. And you know, we're going to play the whole album live in concert on this tour for the first time ever. We never played all the songs from this record in a show before. So we're going to do that. And it, like I said, it brought up all these memories, but it also brought up a lot of gratitude for me, you know, because as you look back, you know, I can just really appreciate how unusual the whole situation was. You know, I mean, for a 16-year-old to sign a record deal and put the record out right, you know, after he graduates high school and, you know, it to go platinum.
You were living the dream, dude.
I know. And it's really, it is remarkable. And I'm very grateful. And, you know, I'm thankful that we're still able to do it today. You know, we're coming to ACL Live and every time we've come there recently, you know, the place has been sold out and this is going to be a special occasion. So I'm sure this one's going to sell out as well too. And, you know, that's an amazing testament to our fan base as well, is that like we're doing this, you know, 30 years later, and our fans are still showing up for us and the music is still relevant, you know, which that was always my goal. I wanted to write music that was like timeless, that wasn't like, I wasn't chasing being a pop star. I wasn't chasing the latest trend. I just want to make music that I was hoping would be played on the radio for many years to come and that people would still enjoy years after it was released.
Absolutely. KennyWayneShepherd.net to get details on that tour. And not only have you kind of written your own story, but and done it your way, but you're doing it with some of the biggest names in blues and rock and roll, you know, having Whipper in the band as well. Yeah. And these cats that you're going on tour with, I know it's old hat for you because you probably started rocking with them from the jump when you were still around 18, but on this tour, you're coming through Austin as you mentioned, but KennyWayneShepherd.net for all your tour dates, but you're also sharing the stage with some other guitar greats.
Yeah. So on the tour right now, we have some shows announced, and when we come through Austin, we're going to have Jimmy Vaughn joining us and he's going to be on some of the other shows. I know he's going to be on the one up here in Nashville. And Eric Johnson, another Texas guitar legend as well, he's going to be joining us on some of the other shows. And there's more guests to be announced that are going to come and do the tour with us. So, you know, and plus I also have a relationship. It ties back to the early days of my career. Like I opened up shows for Jimmy Vaughn back when, you know, I was touring for this first album. I actually got to meet Jimmy and play with him on the B.B. King Blues Festival in Atlanta back before I even had signed my record deal. So, you know, playing shows with Jimmy, you know, that brings me back to those early days as well. And the same with Eric Johnson on the very first G3 tour. It was Joe Satriani, Steve Vai, Eric Johnson, and then I did a few of those shows.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it all connects the dots connect back to, you know, to the very beginning, which is the Leadbetter Heights record for me.
All those tours that you were talking about, plus I remember you being on the Experience Hendrix tours, which was just like, here's all the greatest guitarists still around doing, you know, Hendrix. And of course, you know, if people really want to deep dive on you, quickly speak on the 10 Days Out documentary.
Well, 10 Days Out was a thing we released it, I think, in 2000. I want to say it was 2007. And we basically loaded a tour bus up with a bunch of recording gear and another bus with a film crew. We went out along the south of the U.S. and we sought out these incredible blues musicians, and we went to them in their environment. A lot of times we went to their house and set up in their, you know, front porch or the, you know, backyard or the kitchen or just wherever, or maybe in a local blues bar or something. And we just made a record and a film of our journey, like going and making music with these guys and these men and women of blues. Some very well known, like B.B. King and, you know, the guys from Howlin' Wolf's band and the Pine Top Perkins and the guys from Muddy Waters band and stuff. But some of them, in my opinion, unsung heroes of the blues, you know, really talented artists that never really broke into the mainstream. And so we made a documentary and a live record that came out back then. You can still find them online. I think you can stream the video somewhere on Amazon, and you can find the actual physical product, you know, is still for sale in a couple spots, but it's a really special project and something that I've always been very, very proud to have been a part of.
Well, since the jump, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, you know, Central Texas, Texas in general, has had your back. Sun Radio loves you, dude. Congratulations on celebrating 30 years of Leadbetter Heights. People can look for that re-release. Cannot wait to see you out on tour. KennyWayneShepherd.net to get any tour dates to find out if he's playing next to you. Safe travels on the road, and here's to another 30, bro.
All right, man. I appreciate it. It's always good to talk to you.